Welcome back, everyone, to The Pylon. I will be your host this week, Oscar Henderson, alongside my partners Jack David, Jason Kendall, and Josh Rapien. Guys, how are we doing today?
I am doing very good today.
I'm doing great. I've been very overstimulated by the amount of news that's happened in the NFL. I'm staring at our show sheet right now, and it is 15 lines long. It's an absolute stacked show. Get ready.
Jay DeCoster, unfortunately, could not join us today. So, as I said, I will be your host. And like we said, it has been one of the most craziest free agencies in recent memory. Probably... maybe of all time, as so many players have got signed.
It feels like every free agency is like the craziest free agency.
It does, but like it kind of feels like this that. One was
Monday night. Monday, like the Monday was just
nuts.
Oh my god! Yeah, it's like an onslaught of stuff.
It was crazy. So we are gonna get right into it, starting off with stuff that happened right before free agency kicked off. We had some big news regarding Russell Wilson and where he will end up. He is going to the standard Pittsburgh Steelers. Sign Russell Wilson. They will end up paying him $1.2 million, while Denver will pay $38 million for him to go play in Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. Jack, as our resident Steelers fan, I'm sure you're pretty excited about this signing. Then, how do you feel about it so far?
I have come around to it because it has to be an upgrade, right? He has to.
Play I don't know. Kenny Pickett's really good.
He has to play better than Pickett. He has to, and it comes in at $1.2 million, so that leaves room for you to pay other players, like a certain guy that we'll get into later in the show. And, you know, moves that I think the Steelers still need to make in the next couple days in free agency in terms of also getting a receiver. But, I mean, I like it. He's a bridge quarterback, a cheap bridge quarterback. He's going to come in with a chip on his shoulder because his time in Denver was terrible, you know. It was better in the second year, but that first year, oh my gosh, like he was a completely different player in all the worst ways. But, you know, we'll take it. It's an improvement, a cheap improvement. It's not the long-term option, but that, you know, we'll figure that long-term option out later. But
yeah, for now. I've been seeing a lot of people get, you know, really excited about this upcoming Steelers season because of some of the free agency moves that they made. And like you said, I think a lot of them may have to keep it in perspective in terms of the fact that Russ is – you know, a little bit older. I think what is he now? 36?
Russell Wilson is 35.
Yeah, so on the wrong side of 30. And, yeah, I mean, you guys would have him for a good year and then hopefully draft another quarterback maybe.
Yeah, but that's probably what we're going to do. Honestly, you know what? If we want to, you know, go trade up and go get J.J. McCarthy and have him sit behind Russell, I would. I wouldn't be
It's not very much out the realm.
I'm not kidding. but yeah, so we'll, you know, figure out the quarterback stuff later. Because, you know, take it on the Steelers to go target a quarterback in the absolute worst draft class for quarterbacks maybe ever.
Carson Beck, future Steeler?
Honestly, I don't know. I need to watch him. But like, yeah, so we'll look into the future there. Russ is a Steeler. Let's ride. Steel City, let's weld.
All right, so we're going to move on to something else that happened right before free agency started. The Bills decided they cannot field a secondary.
No.
So they just decided to release everyone. Notable names that were released right before free agency, Jordan Poyer, longtime captain of the Bills, and Tre'Davious White, also longtime cornerback one of the Bills. Both of them were released right before free agency started. I'm not saying I'm surprised by this. Tre'Davious White was due to make a lot of money, and he is now coming off, I believe, his second ACL tear in about 4 years. I mean, I think that was due. And then Jordan Poyer, he's getting up there in age. I don't think they were going to be able to really re-sign him because they are sort of locked in cap hell a little bit with that Von Miller contract and that Josh Allen contract. So a lot of these guys, they just were not able to pay, and yeah, some longtime Bills players, especially some long-loved secondary players, are now gone from Buffalo.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they went to the Brad Holmes school of building a secondary, I guess, because I don't know how they're going to defend the pass next year. I think they're a team that could potentially trade up for a corner. It's a pretty deep corner class at the top. I mean, you got guys like Nate Wiggins, Quinyon Mitchell, Terrion Arnold, who may, if they get to like the 18 or 19 spot and they find a guy that they like, maybe they trade up and get some secondary help. I know, you know, you don't think of trading up for a corner as like, you know, a flashy move or a move that most teams do, but with that much talent at the top and just this much of a need on a team that should still probably make the playoffs, in my opinion, should make the playoffs, and, you know, still should be a contender. You have Josh Allen. Diggs fell off a lot towards the end of last season, which is a little concerning.
They locked up Deion Dawkins for long term over this free agency. Yeah. So they'll have their left tackle.
I think this pretty much should lock in that they go corner this draft or somewhere in the secondary in the first round. But this is what happens with Super Bowl windows. You just got to capitalize it when you have it because the cap will come back to bite you.
Yeah.
And I think we're seeing this firsthand with the Bills right here.
Yeah, this happens to every good team at a point.
Though. Well, it did.
Well, not everyone has Patrick Mahomes.
Exactly. Yeah, like, they can just do whatever with him because it's Patrick Mahomes and it works. Josh Allen, great, but still, you got to build a roster, and it's hard to when you're one, the Von Miller contract.
It's eating
at the time. Like, oh my gosh.
Because even at the time,
very
questionable. Yeah. They signed him when he was like, what, 30?
Yes.
It was like 30 something. Yeah.
Really old. So, yeah. So they're going to have to, like Josh said, go into the draft, maybe trade up for a cornerback. Because if you want one of those top.
I'd say they're going to be gone by 18.
You're
going
to have to trade up from one. Unless you want to sit there and take Kool Aid McKinstry.
I don't think I'd take that late.
I don't know if DeGene will be there.
DeGene will probably be gone, I think.
Mitchell, Arnold, and Wiggins will probably be gone by pick 28, I would assume.
100%.
Yeah. So they're probably going to have to trade up if they want either one of those three top-end corners in the draft. But we will see what they end up doing. We are now going to move on to officially the start of free agency, what we saw happen on Monday. And, of course, the first big story that broke out from Atlanta, Kirk Cousins is going to the Falcons. 4 years, $180 million guaranteed, to go over to the Falcons. This, I kind of like this contract Atlanta.
We just talked about old guys getting paid and Von Miller.
He's 35 coming off an Achilles, though. Yeah. I don't get that.
4 years is a lot.
That's a lot of money.
4 years is a lot of money, but Atlanta really needed
for sure.
And I think Kirk, being a veteran guy, he's been in the league for a long time. He's going to be playing with a lot of young guys on that offense. Kyle Pitts is still only in his, I believe, third or fourth year. Drake London's going to be in his third year. Bijan Robinson's going to be in his second. It's a very young offense, and they're going to need someone who's, I think, a little bit older to sort of lead the way there. And so that's kind of why I like the signing. And I understand, like you said, Kirk is coming off an ACL tear, but I mean, he's consistently a top 12 quarterback in the NFL. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, no one's doubting his ability if he comes back healthy. It's just
the length.
If he comes back healthy, and just like to me, but you're going to be paying what a 39-year-old Kirk Cousins $45 million a year.
I mean, considering how we see a lot of quarterbacks age right now, I could see where they're willing to accept that they can keep him on the team or keep him on payroll for 4 years going into his age 39 year. I mean, look, Aaron Rodgers has been playing now till he's 38. Tom Brady played till he's 45. Russell Wilson is still playing at 35. I mean, I think a lot of quarterbacks
are
going to start
be playing that much longer.
Will probably not be playing as much longer, but. But I think what we're seeing is, I think the shelf life of a quarterback it's obviously a lot longer than a lot of different positions in the NFL. Yeah. And I think that's what they see. I think I'd be fine if I was Atlanta and paying him until he's 39.
I will
39.
Say, they have the offensive line to keep him upright.
Yeah.
And that's what they're going to have to do. If you're going to hope to have him be like the starting quarterback and stay healthy for the duration of this contract, you have to keep him upright. And they have a good offensive line right now. So, and then you look at all the pieces around it. Like, this is probably right now, I would have to think about it, probably my NFC South winner.
100%.
Probably. Yeah. Them,
I mean,
or
who
Tampa,
else is there?
Tampa.
Tampa, yeah.
Tampa.
Yeah.
It'll be a two-way. It'll be a two-way race between those two.
I mean, that offense is just lethal. Yeah. And you could still add a receiver there at eight.
And they don't have Arthur Smith anymore, so.
I mean, the thing
that's
is,
good for
you could still add Odunze or Neighbors to this offense as well at number eight.
They got they got Darnell Mooney. They got Rondell Moore.
I don't think they need to add anything more. I don't think they need to add anything more to the offense.
I do think they'll go edge at eight, though, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think they're going to need to. I think they're going to need to help out. They're going to need to help out on that defensive end, especially on that line.
Yeah, I was about to say. I think the Falcons should probably trade down. On the Kirk Cousins front, like, you had Matt Ryan. You got rid of him at 35 years old. Now you have another 35-year-old quarterback. And now he's coming off a torn Achilles. Like, they're going to be looking at a first-round quarterback in 3-4 years to replace Kirk Cousins. So this contract kind of perplexes me.
Also, by the way, welcome Jason Kandel. We didn't actually introduce him at the beginning of the show. Welcome to the show. But, yeah, you're completely right.
I think it's going to end up being the best for Atlanta. I think this is the best option at quarterback they've kind of gotten.
I do agree with
year.
That.
Well, they could have traded for Fields.
But
like, here's the thing.
I mean, would you rather have Justin Fields or Kirk Cousins?
Kirk Cousins.
Kirk Cousins. Yeah, I'm a Bears fan. I would die if Kirk Cousins is my quarterback.
And you have that owner that's willing to shell out this type of money because Arthur Blank, he needed a quarterback. So he's just going to go give the most amount of money to the best quarterback in the market, and we are.
All right, we are going to move on to the second big news that we got on Monday. Saquon Barkley, former New York Giants, has decided to go to division rival Philadelphia Eagles. Barkley signs a 3-year, $37.5 million contract, $26 million guaranteed. I'm pretty sure this makes him... This is either the second highest paid running back contract of all time or first, I believe. I'm trying to remember what CMC's contract was, because I believe that was first.
I think they were very similar.
Yeah. They were very similar.
The same.
But yeah, this was absolutely, this was a shocker to me that I had no idea Philadelphia was even in the mix for Saquon Barkley. And
I'll
now
be honest, I don't know why they were in
I don't know
I
why.
Don't really I either.
Mean, I'm going to let the local Giants fan go off on this more. But
yeah, as our token Giants fan, I think it's the best move for Saquon Barkley's career. This is the best offensive line he's ever played with. You have Jalen Hurts, you have A.J. Brown, you have Devontae Smith, you have Saquon Barkley. Even with losing Jason Kelsey on that offensive line, you still have guys like Landon Dickerson, you have Lane Johnson, you have Cam Jurgens. You have a pretty good offensive line still in Philadelphia, and he got the money that he was looking for. The Giants were never going to pay him, and they were headed into a rebuild. It gives him the best chance to win at the highest level for the first time in his NFL career.
That's
so
a very mature response.
Really fault him.
Yeah. Is he dead?
I would be pissed.
I was about to say, is he dead to you? Is he dead to you as well? Like he is Tiki. Is he dead to you as well? Like Tiki Barber said.
Oh, God. I'm upset about it. Saquon probably was my favorite Giant when they were picking at 2 in 2018. He was the guy I wanted, but I do see that it was the best move for his career. I think the Giants are better off. I also think that, but we'll get to that later, and I also think the Eagles are better off. So I think it's kind of a double-edged sword.
I mean, how can you be mad? They didn't even offer him a contract. I mean, if he had a contract and he rejected it, but, like, you didn't even offer. You can't even be upset about it.
No, that's why I don't get the whole drama around this whole thing. Like, like you said, it would have been one thing if they offered him, but, I mean, what do you expect? Like, the guy just make no money? Like, is that what you want him to do?
For the love of the game, Oscar. For the love of the game.
You want me to not take this Eagles offer, which was the best offer on the board, just because they're a division
one of the
rival.
Greatest running back offers of all time, by the way.
Yeah.
Not to mention.
In a thin, like, low-paying running back market, you have to take this option. Because this is, like you said, one of the best... monetarily, one of the best running back contracts ever. So it's smart for Saquon. Like you said, Kandel, he's going to be playing in the best offense he's ever played. For the first time in his career.
That offense is
scary.
Disgusting.
For the first time in his career, he's not going to be the focal point of his, the opposing defense's game plan. Yeah. Right? Like, there's other stuff there that will take away from Saquon, and that's only going to help
and
him.
And that's what I think is going to really – I think he's going to fit so well in this, too. If Philly can really get back to what made them so successful 2 years ago in that Super Bowl run, a lot of RPO – I mean, Saquon, I think, is the best fit for that, too.
Yeah.
He's an amazing receiving running back. Get him out in the open field. He's almost untackleable. This is the best fit, I think, for Saquon, like you guys have been saying. And watch out for this Phillies offense.
But the only thing that I think will come down to is, can he stay healthy?
I was about to say that.
That's the only issue that I have. He's been very injury prone. It's a lot of money for a guy who... When's the last time he played a full season? Has he ever?
Yeah.
I think it's been a...
His rookie year he played.
It's been a hot minute since he's played a full 16 games, and you're investing a lot of money into a non-premium position as well at running back.
That's why I think the Giants were okay to move on, because it's a non-premier position. Their offensive line wasn't good enough to help him out. Their quarterback position was not good enough to help him out. And in Philadelphia, he has the better offensive line, but... Will he be able to stay healthy behind that stronger offensive line? Maybe were his injury issues a testament to the Giants' poor offensive line?
And I'll add a big but for the Eagles. That back seven on defense
is horrible.
It's bad.
It's really bad. It's still horrible. They got a Devin White.
That was huge.
Yesterday.
That was huge.
I'm not a Devin White fan.
That was a huge sign.
It's better than anyone else they have.
Well, it's better than
they have to absolutely hammer that secondary in the draft. But if they do, and like honestly, the Eagles always do, they draft well. If they can draft well in the secondary, this offense is very scary. Especially if Jalen Hurts can get back to playing how he was even earlier last year, at the beginning of the year. But. Yeah, it'll be really interesting to see how this plays out.
Yeah, so we will see how it goes with Barkley in Philadelphia. Moving on, we had another big news coming out of Cincinnati. Joe Mixon was originally released from the Cincinnati Bengals, but news broke out the next day that instead of him being released, he's actually going to be traded to the Houston Texans for an undisclosed pick, and the Texans extended him for 3 years and $27 million. I kind of like this for Houston. I don't think it's too bad. It doesn't seem like they had to give up too high of a draft pick, considering the draft pick is still undisclosed. So
I thought it was a sixth rounder.
Maybe it's gotten out.
I believe it's a sixth rounder.
Yeah, the news I saw was that it was still an undisclosed pick.
Pennies on the dollar. I mean, it's nothing.
Yeah, pennies on the dollar. I mean, they still have Damian Pierce as their backup.
And I love it. I mean, it gives Stroud another option. Mixon is a good receiving back as well. Just another elite playmaker around your quarterback. I still think they try to get another receiver.
I don't think they need another receiver. I think one of those guys.
They could have taken a receiver with pick 23.
That's what I was thinking.
But trade back.
Yeah.
It's a really deep wide receiver class.
You can get a good one at 42. Yeah. 100%.
I think they know what they got with themselves at wide receiver, and I don't really think that should be their main point of address. Honestly, I think, if anything, for the Texans, they need to address that linebacker room way more than I think they need to do that wide receiver room.
And they slightly did. They grabbed they signed two guys. They signed Aziz
Alshire.
He's a very good middle linebacker, top five in tackles last year, I believe.
Yeah, he's from another
Tennessee
division rival.
Yep.
Signing with a division rival. And then they picked up another guy as well, Deshaun Phillips. Shout out that guy. You're right. They need to address the linebacker room, but they've made a lot of moves this offseason.
They have.
Either in signing people or re-signing people or trading for a running back. And what was already a ridiculously impressive year, they're going to be maybe the team or one of two teams that can really compete and maybe knock off the Chiefs in the AFC next year.
I mean, their division, outside of what? Maybe Indianapolis?
The Colts, if Richardson...
Jacksonville, if they can figure it out.
That too, yeah. So there's a couple teams. But Tennessee, I mean, they've been going crazy in the free agency market. I still don't think they can get over six wins.
They're
so, this is my AFC South Division winner. And They're going to be fun to watch next year. Yeah.
Definitely. Really exciting time to be a Texans fan. We're going to move on to the second biggest running back to sign with a team. Derrick Henry has decided to form the most dangerous backfield with Lamar Jackson and signs with the Baltimore Ravens 2 years, $16 million. They did not have to really shell out a lot for this guy.
No.
$8 million a year for Derrick Henry?
Yep.
I'll take it.
Can I start on this one?
Go ahead.
As this being your biggest rival,
the
resident Steelers fan, I'm scared. I mean, we addressed our linebackers, but Derrick Henry, given the age, he has a lot of miles. It's still Derrick Henry, right?
It is still Derrick Henry.
And the Ravens have, how long have they needed a top flight running back like this? With how much they run, took them enough to finally get one of these guys. And like you said, it is the dangerous, backfield in probably the league now.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
We mentioned the Hurts RPO. Ravens RPO,
Oh, my God.
It's going to be scary.
That is just going to be filthy.
I'm super excited for this Baltimore Ravens team, especially to watch them next year. I mean, this was obviously they didn't have the result that they wanted to last year. You really thought that they were going to make it all the way, but that ended up losing to the Chiefs in the AFC Championship game. And I mean, now they just get better. They re-signed Justin Madubuike earlier this year too, so they keep one of the best defensive tackles in the entire NFL right now. This team, they lost a lot of key pieces in free agency, but they still have a lot of guys there who are going to ball out. And this is still going to be a really good Ravens team. And I think even though last year was probably one of the best chances they're going to get to win a Super Bowl, I think next year they're going to have still a pretty good chance of,
They'll definitely be the favorites in the AFC North.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
As they should be.
Yeah. For sure. Maybe I think second favorite coming out of the AFC, probably behind the Chiefs.
Yeah.
I would say.
I think we have to mention, the Ravens need another wide receiver.
That's what I was about to say.
Zay Flowers. They have Rashad Bateman, who I've been waiting to see take that big step up into what I thought he'd be.
He won't.
But they have Mark Andrews. This offense is dangerous, but you need a legitimate option. Give them a guy like Keon Coleman, Xavier Legette even.
There's a lot of guys.
I really like Legette a lot.
Later in that draft that they could. Yeah. Have you guys seen that clip of his accent?
Bro,
Xavier Legette talking?
I see him talk.
The deepest southern accent I've seen.
It's crazy. He sounds like a cowboy.
He does.
His voice wild. Is not like...
Was so shocking. I was like, I was not expecting that voice to come from you, Xavier Legette. But anyways, there's a lot of receivers that they can take at pick 30, which is their first round pick. And I think that's what they're going to have to do. Just give Lamar another weapon.
They probably will. I think they probably will.
Yeah. Gus Edwards out. J.K. Dobbins, a feel for the guy, out. Derrick Henry in. I mean... I think the Ravens are going to take that every single time.
For sure.
It's going to be an exciting watch to watch next year. We're going to move on to the last big running back to be signed. Actually, there was one more that we forgot to put on here, too.
Lot of running back moves all in that first day.
Yeah, there were a lot.
Oh, my God.
But we're going to move on to this one. Josh Jacobs, former halfback for the Las Vegas Raiders, has now signed to the Green Bay Packers 4 years, $48 million.
This was the biggest shock, I think.
This was a shocker.
Had the best running back room in the league for like 2 hours. For 45 minutes.
Yeah, they did.
I mean, I was on Twitter. I was like, man, I have to go with Aaron Jones and Josh Jacobs for next year. I was shaking in my boots, but obviously, we're going to talk about it later. Obviously, Jones... was released by the Packers. $12 million cap hit was, I believe, was Jones' cap hit, so they released him. And Jacobs is a very good running back, but I just don't get the move, really, if you already have Aaron Jones. And it's the same amount of money you're going to be paying to Josh Jacobs. I don't get the move, and I don't get paying a lot at a running back position. Obviously, I'm a Bears fan. We did sign a running back as well. We'll talk about that later. But for me, it was just a little bit of a confusing move when you already have a guy like Aaron Jones as well.
I can kind of see why they ended up going out with this. Aaron Jones, he's been regressing each season ever since his breakout in like 2018, 2019. He's been struggling to stay healthy a lot too throughout years. You could kind of see this coming. Especially with the way they were talking about not keeping AJ Dillon around too. They were looking to move on and make a different and make a change of direction in running back. Little did I expect that change of direction would end up being Josh Jacobs. But it's not surprising to me that they signed a running back. It's just surprising what running back they ended up getting. And they got, I'd say, a top five running back in the entire NFL right now. Big signing for the Packers. Going to be really dangerous with him and Jordan Love in that backfield, along with Christian Watson and Jaden Reed catching balls. Not a great time to be a Lions fan for that. But I still think we can maybe get one out of two.
I mean, they did get a signing that he is the guy they signed. He is like one of the best run defenders in the league.
Yeah.
We'll get into that later.
He's up there. We'll get into that later.
We will go into that later. But as we said, we have two more running backs that made switches. Austin Eckler ended up going to the Commanders. 2 years, $8 million. Anyone excited about this at all?
This could not move me less. I mean, Washington.
Anyone have any thoughts or feelings about this one?
This is the equivalent of the Warriors signing Chris Paul this offseason in the NBA.
The Commanders would have won the 2019 Super Bowl. They are 2019 Super Bowl champs.
It's like, did you see that one video where it's like Dan Marino and Jerry Rice in their old jerseys for a commercial? It's that video, it's that video reincarnated in a football team.
For the Commanders, we're in 2024. So
they do this every year, though. Like, do you remember the one year? I can't remember what year it was. They signed Deion Sanders. They signed
Josh Norman.
This is a completely signed the 1995 all NFL team or something, and then Deion retired 2000.
A season later.
Yeah, it was 2001, Commanders just always seem to do this. I mean, it's good that they got some help in the backfield. I mean, Antonio Gibson and Brian Robinson Jr. They don't look like they're gonna get
Gibson's out.
Gibson with
he's on the Patriots.
He's on the Patriots now too. So they needed a guy right there, and I don't think I don't see them signing Brian Robinson Jr. to something too long term either. Once he's out of his rookie deal, I guess this is a good placeholder for them for the time being for 2 years, and then they can sort of figure out what they need after that.
I mean, you know what he can be, Austin Eckler. You bring him in with likely Drake May or Jayden Daniels as your new franchise quarterback. The Commanders have had a very interesting offseason, I'll say, with Dan Quinn and Adam Peters now at the helm. They brought in Bobby Wagner. They brought in Austin Eckler. They brought in a lot of guys that were familiar with Dan Quinn from Dallas. But
a lot of veterans. They're very low risk.
And they traded Sam Howell, which is a really they're doing something. I'm not sure if it's good or bad yet.
We're gonna have to see come draft time once we fully see what this team looks like, as to see where we think they can go throughout this next season and really the first full year of their rebuild. But last running back to make a big move was Aaron Jones. After the Packers released the news that they were signing Josh Jacobs, they released Aaron Jones, and now he is going to the Minnesota Vikings. 1 year, $7 million contract. Vikings desperately needed a running back. Madison did not really seem to be the guy who they thought they were. No. He was last year, so now they're looking for different options at running back, and Aaron Jones seems to be the guy that they go for. And another big last big running back to sign a deal was DeAndre Swift. Ends up going to the Bears. I believe the contract was 4 years. What was it?
Three years, 24 million.
We can opt out of the second year because I think the guaranteed money runs out after 2 years.
Yeah. So
I mean, for me personally, with Swift, I didn't like it at first, but I sort of came around to it because I mean, I'm not comfortable paying Barkley that much for a team like the Bears, where you don't have the O-line like the Eagles. And I think Swift fits Waldron's system a little bit better in terms of, you know, he could still pass catch. He's a good, he's a solid running back for the price tag, and we really need it because Khalil Herbert, who I had really, I thought he'd be better than what he was. He was very disappointing this season. Our running back production was some of the worst in the league. Like Blossingame, Hudel, Roshan Johnson, although he's more of a power back.
I was about to say, like,
a traditional back. Like, I like we don't have a traditional. Roshan Johnson. I love Roshan. He's a good hard runner. He's just not a traditional bell cow back. He's not going to, you're not going to give it to him three times on, you know, to get a first down.
Yeah.
So I think Swift was a solid move. It's not as flashy as, you know, Saquon, or he's not as good as Saquon or Mixon or any of the other higher tier running backs. But for a tier two starting running back that you can rely on in an offense with now a lot of weapons, possibly the most weapons a team picking first has had in a while, I think it's a solid move in my opinion.
I'm not in love with the amount of money you guys are giving him, because per year you're giving him the same amount of money that Derrick Henry's getting.
And it's also DeAndre Swift.
But if you guys have the offense that people are thinking and projecting you guys to have next year, no one's going to care.
Exactly.
No one's going to care.
And
so,
the only thing I like is that you can get out in 2 years as well.
Exactly.
So it's not like you're like locked in long term.
The
guaranteed money, I think, is only like $16 million or something. Yeah. Some small. So, I mean, there's an out after 2 years. If it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. We have a lot of cap space. I think it's a rather safe move from Poles. And, you know, it's not going to. I wouldn't say it's going to make us over the top, but it just improves the position that we need.
Yeah. You know?
So that will do it for the running backs who got signed in free agency. A lot of crazy movement there in that zone. We're going to now move on to the next bit of free agency details. Daniel Hunter, Texans, go out and get a premier edge. He signs with them for 2 years, $49 million. This is a great pairing, I think, for Will Anderson Jr. I mean, you got Daniel Hunter, who's arguably top 10, sometimes top 8 edge in the NFL, and now Will Anderson, who is one of the best, if not the best, up-and-coming edge rushers in the NFL right now. This is scary for a lot of offenses.
I'd be quaking in my boots if I was in the AFC right now.
This is very scary.
Yeah.
We really thought that, you know, Texans might address their opposite edge issue throughout the draft. There are a lot of good edges that they possibly could have picked in that draft, but instead they just decided to go get an already proven commodity and they go out and get Daniel Hunter for 2 years. I mean, I think this is a great signing for Houston. Definitely a type of guy that they need, especially to pair up with Will Anderson and help out that secondary a little bit, because of outside of Derek Stingley Jr., they don't have too much to help out in that secondary. So, you know, adding an extra pass rusher, especially the likes of Daniel Hunter, it is a great signing.
Yeah. That's a very scary front four. They also signed Danico Autry out of Tennessee. So that's just, that front four is very scary. The fact that you're going to have to take account for, already had to take account for Will Anderson, who, like you mentioned, is one of the best up-and-coming edge players, one of the best up-and-coming just young players in the league.
Yeah.
Now he's not even the number one edge on that team.
Nope.
It's going to be Daniel Hunter. So, like, what do you do if you're an opposing offense? What do you do?
Pray.
You just run, pray. Screen passes. Yeah, you pray. But
and not only that, but you have one of the smartest defensive minds in D'Amico Ryans calling all the defensive plays as well. So
for sure.
It is going to be a scary time going against that Texans defense next year, I think. And D'Amico Ryans, I think, is going to have that team playing as a top 10, maybe top 5 defense next year. They have the talent to do it now. Moving on, we have another big defensive signing here. CJ Gardner-Johnson has decided to return to the Philadelphia Eagles. He signs a 3-year, $33 million contract with the Philadelphia Eagles. This one was very, very interesting to me. I had assumed CJ was going to end up re-signing to Detroit on a 1-year deal. considering the fact that he was injured most of the, actually pretty much all of the year last year. I think he only played in like 3 regular season games and then appeared in the playoffs for Detroit. But I don't think anyone really knew what his value was going to be with a long-term contract. I figured he hadn't proven yet if he needed a long-term contract, obviously, because he got injured early and missed most of the season. But I was very surprised that Philly decided to throw one at him, and especially $11 million annually for a guy who you don't really know what he's going to look like coming back from injury.
Yeah.
I understand the need that they do have for a secondary player, especially in safety, because that was by far their worst position last year. But I think this is a little bit of a gamble that I don't really know why you would take.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense in the way that you just need players in that secondary, and he's coming back to Philly, so you would think he would know that defense and would be able to plug back in with relatively no stress or anything like that. But yeah, I agree. It's a little questionable. I don't 100% understand it, but again, I don't know if this moves me a lot. As a Lions fan, are you sad to lose him? For the year, 2 years he was there?
I mean, what, considering what we probably, considering what we would have had to pay him to keep him around, absolutely not.
Yeah.
3 years, $33 million for a guy who was a rotational safety for us, because we already have Kirby Joseph and Afonte Melifonwu.
And the fact that he wasn't able to beat out those safeties for more playing time.
Right. I would have been quite upset if we ended up paying him that type of money, especially considering who we still have to pay on our team in terms of the players that we already have. So I'm kind of glad that we didn't end up paying him. If it was a 1 year deal for not as much money, I would have been a little bit upset about it. But I mean, I'm totally fine with letting him walk and letting Philly pay him $33 million, yeah. 11 annually. I'm perfectly fine with that.
Yeah.
Moving on to another big defensive signing, Patrick Queen has moved to the Pittsburgh Steelers from the Baltimore Ravens. Queen signs a 3-year, $41 million deal with the Pittsburgh Steelers. This one, very interesting, considering he did come from Baltimore. Jack, how do we feel about this?
I could not be more happy with the move. I was in the MSU library, and I made out a vocal, like, audible sigh. I mean, not sigh, a, like, audible, like, excitement.
Yeah.
And I got people looked at me. I don't care. He is 24 years old. 24 and a half. He is one of the best linebackers in the league. This was maybe one of our biggest needs. It was one of our biggest needs, and we got it from a division rival. He plays like a Steeler. Tomlin literally told him, I believe,
"You don't belong over there."
He said
when he was playing against Baltimore. Yeah,
yeah. He's like, I forget if it was "You're not a Raven" or "You're a Steeler." I think it was "You're not a Raven."
Something about "You don't belong over there."
He didn't, and now he's over here. And I could not be happier. How do you guys feel about this? Because, like, obviously, I mean, biased.
I think it's great.
Right?
I think it's an amazing move. First off, you steal him from a rival. I think that just adds a little extra on top that you stole him from the Ravens as well. You know, it's a little nice finish on top. But he's an amazing player. And for kind of a steal of a contract, 3 years, $41 million for a top-tier linebacker. And, you know, the Steelers' defense has always been crazy when T.J. Watt is healthy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, should have been defensive player of the year. All I'm saying.
I still quite don't know how I feel about this signing. Obviously, it was a very big position of need that you guys needed. Linebacker was one of your weaker spots on defense, and now you go out and get, like you said, one of the best linebackers in the NFL. But I don't really know if he's one of the best linebackers without Roquan Smith.
Are we sure Roquan Smith is one of the best linebackers without Patrick Queen? That's what I'm saying.
Yes, 100%.
100%.
Pretty confident about that.
Is he one of the best linebackers without Patrick Sanborn?
Here's my thing, right?
I'm mostly kidding.
Patrick Queen, both of them played Mike linebacker, but Roquan was like, he was the Mike linebacker for that Ravens defense. Patrick Queen,
best linebacker.
In terms of, you know, calling out the defense, being that leader for the defense, Roquan was that guy for the Ravens. And it wasn't until Roquan came to the Ravens that they really had that, you know, sort of guy, because Patrick Queen was not really doing that before Roquan came. And now that, so he was able to really, a lot of his Mike linebacker responsibilities fell off of him and went on to Roquan. And I think that's why he was able to have such a career year last year. But now I think you're adding those responsibilities back to him. Unless, Minka usually does that stuff anyways for the Steelers defense on the most part, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like most Mike linebacker stuff. So
he played a lot more in the box last year.
Yeah, he's really the one who commands that.
Well, yeah, we had a lot of safety injuries last year, so he had to play more in the box.
Yeah.
In like where you want Minka is you want him in the free safety role, just let him roam out there, use his instincts and let him play out of the ball.
And usually like even with him playing that deep, he's still like usually the guy who is, you know, able to call out stuff. So maybe you don't really need Patrick Queen to be that type of guy, but
we've just been in since Ryan Shazier had that injury and his career ended. We've just always have just been in the search for the next like number one linebacker on the team. Like you said, a guy that can come in and be that Mike, but yeah, hopefully Queen does it. I mean, I understand the point that you're making, I get it, but like being the number two to Roquan Smith, Roquan Smith is probably a top five linebacker.
Yes, but again, they went and got Roquan while they had Patrick Queen.
Yeah.
I think that has to say something about Patrick Queen.
Guess what?
I don't think it says anything about Patrick Queen. If you're a guy like Eric DaCosta, you have an opportunity to acquire one of the NFL's best linebackers, best defensive players, you're going to take it if you can help elevate your defense. I don't think it's anything about a testament to Patrick Queen. I think it's more about his aggressiveness and trying to elevate the level of his defense and his team as a collective.
I agree. All right. Well, we have a lot of differing thoughts on this one, but I guess we can only see. Time will only tell how this signing ends up. We are going to move on to another AFC South team who made two big signings, two questionable signings.
Very questionable.
Tony Pollard and Calvin Ridley have both agreed to sign with the Tennessee Titans. Both of them getting some pretty big contracts,
especially Calvin positions, Ridley.
Especially
I don't understand
Calvin Ridley.
Personally.
4 years, $92 million.
I like how we synced that up right there.
Yeah. I mean, for a guy who barely eclipsed 1,000 yards last year.
How old's Calvin?
He's 29.
He's 29.
He's turning 30.
This might be one of the worst contracts I've seen handed out.
We talked about how Kirk got a 4-year contract at 35. It's a lot different when you're talking about receivers. When you're 29.
And this is a guy who came off a bad year, too. Like,
it's not crazy to say that Calvin Ridley's past his prime. Can we agree that think he's past his prime?
You saw what he did last year.
You saw last year.
I don't understand this at all.
It makes no sense to me. Like, I don't get it. Like, I was thinking, like, you know, I wanted him on the Bears. Like, maybe we could pay, like, I don't know, $13, $14 million for a good
There was rumors about the Steelers going after him. Not for $92
million. That's like $92 for 4 years?
This is
And it's like $60 million guaranteed, too. It's like a big amount of guaranteed money. I'm just like,
crazy part.
I know his agent was, like, smiling, like, had the biggest grin on his face when they offered that contract.
The biggest winner here is Calvin Ridley.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, good for Calvin Ridley.
Congrats on the generational wealth. I mean, you just scammed, you know, the city of the state of Tennessee. I mean,
city of Nashville.
The city of Nashville. You scammed all the Titans, man. I mean, that is like one of the worst contracts. Maybe the worst contract this free agency, I think, rather easily.
Probably.
For a guy who was, he wasn't, it's not like he showed promise last year. I mean, he was very disappointing last year with the Jets.
Very high expectations with Trevor Lawrence.
And he just fell short.
Yeah, he just
and
was
not
the guy. And
you still paid him that much money? It's like,
yeah.
This ain't the same guy who had the one good year before gambling in Atlanta.
Yeah.
It's just, I don't get it. Like, how do you... Like, there's other receivers on the market that you could have gone for that would have been cheaper.
They were cheaper, and you're in a position with the number 7 pick if you really want a receiver.
Draft Malik Nabers, draft Roma Dunze.
Hand a 29 out of his prime
Ridley
guy.
Nearly 20 plus million a year. Like,
yeah. It doesn't make any sense.
Jack, I want to build on what you said. It's questionable. Calvin Ridley showed promise before the gambling suspension. He was a year removed from not playing any football at all, or very little football. He's 29 years old. He had 1,000 receiving yards and 8 touchdowns last year. The statistics for him last year were good. I think it's confusing because they didn't want to pay A.J. Brown that money 2 years ago, but they'll pay Calvin Ridley, who's significantly older.
Great point.
And honestly, like, not in the same stratosphere as A.J. Brown.
No, exactly. A.J. Brown's a top 5 receiver.
Not in the same stratosphere.
Yeah, but Calvin Ridley's not top 20. I think they did it because they went out and got Calvin Ridley because if they addressed wide receiver, that way they wouldn't have to address wide receiver at pick 7, and they can focus their attention on the offensive tackles. Joe Alt and Olufoshanu, Talisi Fuaga even, like, they need an offensive tackle to protect Will Levis so much. And I think the biggest winner of this free agency for Tennessee is Will Levis. You see how committed they are to building around you. No excuses now.
Yeah, that is actually true.
He's got more weapons, but, like, if he does not succeed next year,
they're looking.
At least have some promise. He won't be the quarterback.
They're looking somewhere else.
Be,
yeah.
All right. Due to time, we're going to do a little bit of a speed run here for the rest of this. We're going to go through this really quick, but we have another big signing here. The Giants traded for Brian Burns on, I believe it was Monday as well, and then ended up signing him to a 5-year, $150 million contract for, again, one of the best edge rushers in the entire NFL right now. Very young guy, too. Only, what do you say, 24 years old?
He's 25. He turns 26 in April, so.
Yeah, so by the time his contract is done, he will be about 30. So you get him right in his prime.
Yeah. Oh, I, as our resident Giants fan, I absolutely love this move.
Sure.
You don't pay Saquon Barkley. You let Xavier McKinney walk because his price tag's too high. And you go out there and make an absolute splash next to Kayvon Thibodeau. That is a scary front four in New York with Dexter Lawrence, with Kayvon Thibodeau, with Brian Burns. They're all young. Dexter Lawrence is also 26, and I think Shane Bowen's defensive front is going to be pretty scary, something to watch. And I think the Giants are better than they were about 2-3 days ago.
Maybe still need to address the quarterback, but that's neither here nor there. But moving on, speaking of the Panthers decided to trade for Deontay Johnson as their only significant move in free agency. Does this make them any better?
I know it does. This is great for Bryce Young because
he finally has a guy.
Nothing a young quarterback needs more than just a. I mean, we can call him a veteran at this point. He was drafted in 2019. A veteran wide receiver that is one of the most elite separators. Like, he's going to get open. That's the one thing those Panthers receivers didn't do last year, that was get open.
Well,
Deontay's best thing is that he can get open. So, yeah. So I think this is a good move for the Panthers. They definitely fleeced us in the trade. I mean, we got back Adante Jackson. And he's he's fast, old. I guess. We'll see how that goes. I mean, it sucks to lose Deontay because he's a good receiver. I know he has some off field antics, and even on the field, I mean, it's hard to rewatch that clip over and over again of him watching the fumble in Cincinnati and not doing anything about it. But good for the Panthers, I guess. Thank you for everything, Deontay. Yeah, I guess.
I'm loving the commitment to these franchise quarterbacks. The Panthers for Bryce Young bring in Deontay Johnson. For CJ Stroud in Houston, you bring in Joe Mixon.
I mean,
for
the Bears
Will
and Tyson
Levis, you bring
Bajan.
In Calvin Ridley and Tony Pollard. And And even the Indianapolis Colts, like they brought Michael Pittman back on a large extension. So all of these teams are committed to building around these quarterbacks they drafted just a year ago. So it's going to be interesting to see how it unfolds.
Definitely. A really exciting time to be a young quarterback. Moving on now to another big defensive signing. Christian Wilkins decides to go to the Las Vegas Raiders, signs for 4 years, $110 million. He will be lining up with Max Crosby on that line. Very great, I think, signing for the Raiders. Really needed someone in the middle to stuff up the run. I don't think their run defense was very good, and now they get that guy in Christian Wilkins, one of the best defensive tackles in the entire NFL right now. So great for Las Vegas. I think a good signing, too. He's very young. Yeah, great signing overall. Moving on to my team, the Detroit Lions. We made a couple moves this offseason.
No one's running on that defense this year.
Oh, nope. God.
You will not give up a single rushing yard this year.
As DJ Reader, former Bengals defensive tackle, has now signed with the Detroit Lions for 2 years, $27 million. He will be pairing up with Aleem McNeil, who is already one of the better defensive tackles in the NFL. As Josh said, it is going to be very, very hard to try and run on this Lions defense. Also, another big move that they made, the Lions traded for Carlton Davis for a six-round pick, I believe it was. It might have been a third-round pick. I cannot remember the trade details. But, one of the better man-to-man cornerbacks in the entire league, and something that the Lions desperately needed, as cornerback was probably one of our weakest, if not actually the weakest position we had in our entire team last year. So glad we went out and addressed that. And yeah, all around quiet free agency for Detroit, but I still think a pretty good one overall.
Very impactful moves.
Very small, impactful. Small but impactful.
And I think Brad Holmes likes to build through the draft.
He does.
We've seen it a lot, and he's been working. He's an amazing drafter. So
yeah.
I
figure that's where you're going to be.
And Brad, we trust. Yeah. Speaking of which, both congratulations to Brad Holmes and Dan Campbell signing extensions throughout the 2027 season. These men are here to stay.
As they should,
obviously. All right, another big news that dropped last night. Bears traded for Keenan Allen for a fourth-round pick. So now Keenan Allen will be pairing up with most likely Caleb Williams. Josh,
I'll
give you your thoughts first, and then I'll express my thoughts about it.
First things first. My thoughts and prayers go out to Justin Herbert. I don't know what he's going to toss to. Toss to me and Oscar next season. Honestly,
I will mention there is a chance
trade up for Marvin Harrison.
They don't even have to trade up for him. There's a chance he might be there at five. If someone trades up with Arizona, and the top four are all quarterbacks, Marv might be there. And
they could still stay put in draft Malik Nabers, though.
Exactly.
So they're going prize. Receiver. They're going receiver. But. As a Bears fan, I was about to go to bed, actually. It was 10 o'clock. I was tired watching some. I was checking Twitter. I was like, what? I mean, I woke up my roommate. He has to wake up at 5 a.m. for his work. Dr. Moore was like, Josh, shut up. You're waking me up. It came as a shock because I know all Bears fans were saying we need another wide receiver because Mooney was kind of disappointed, but it also might be because of the system he was in. But I love the trade. It's only a fourth round. It's a minimal risk. I get it. Allen is old, and he could very well regress. There's only 1 year on his contract, and it is a big cap hit, but the Bears have the third most cap in the NFL. It is worth it if you are trying to get a rookie quarterback like Caleb Williams to succeed. You want to give him as many weapons as possible. Like, you have to give him an elite wide receiver and wide receiver two. And maybe you extend him. I wouldn't think it's too much to extend him. And I see the issues, but with Herbert out last year, he still put up 1,200 yards, and he still was very productive against, a hard AFC West as well. So, I mean, there are downsides to trade. I get, you could have drafted Odunze at 9, and you would have had the bigger deal. I know. I'm sorry. We're running low on time, so I'll let you guys finish it up real quick.
I was just gonna say, I'm very in between on this trade. I understand Keenan Allen only a year. There's a lot of cap space in the Bears, but like you said, that cap hit is very huge, and this guy has not played a full season. He's only played a full season four times in his 10-year career, and he has regressed almost every year except, of course, for last year. He had a really standout year, but I am very interested to see how he does in Chicago. Moving on to our next one, Chargers also released Mike Williams. Could not afford to pay him, it seems like, as they are sort of dealing with a cap hit situation that they are trying to find themselves out of, and that's exactly what they did with the trade to the with the Bears for Keenan Allen. Next thing we have, Gabe Davis and Eric Armstead have decided to sign with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Jaguars decided to upgrade on wide receiver and give Josh Allen and a little help on that defensive line there. Minnesota this morning traded for the 23rd overall pick, which was the Texans pick. Mm-hmm. So now they own, what is it, the 11th and the 23rd now. Yeah.
So I,
Drake May, get ready to learn Minnesota.
What are they cooking in there?
They're probably trading up for a quarterback.
They're probably getting ready to trade
up. They're trading up for a quarterback, it seems like. We will see, though, what they end up doing in the next couple weeks going up to the draft. And last thing that was announced, Chiefs will sign Hollywood Brown for 1 year, $11 million. Okay. Shore up a little bit of that wide receiver room. Just give Mahomes another fast weapon, why don't you?
Oh, no.
Might
as well,
it's
right?
Over. League is ruined.
It's not exactly already wiped. He had one of the fastest players in the NFL. So, I mean, great signing. They also restructured Mahomes' contract, too. I'm not sure how much money they saved with the restructuring, but they did restructure him, and it looks like they're going to save a little bit more money in cap space as well with that. But that is going to do it for this crazy, crazy week of free agency. Oh, wow. We are
free agency.
We are so glad.
You know what? There's going to be even more next week.
There will be more. We are so back. Thank you guys so much for listening to us in this crazy, crazy episode we had for free agency. For now, I'm your host, Oscar Henderson, alongside my partners, Jack David, Jason Kendall, and Josh Repayan. We will be back next week with another episode. And again, thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Yep.
Are these new headphones?